From Brennan to the Boca Chiel, from Lummi to La Push, and from the lordly Sawduck to lovely Duckabush. From Samish to Sammamish, Suquamish to Quilicene, the climate is so friendly, it's a land that's evergreen.
Hello, and welcome to the History of the Evergreen State podcast. I'm your host, John C., and thank you for joining me today for episode 104, The Inland Empire Highway. The Inland Empire Highway was a state highway that ran through the central and eastern portions of the Evergreen State and was authorized and designated in 1913 by the Washington State Legislature. It connected the small settlements of Verdun, northeast of Cle Elum in Kittitas County, and Laurier on the Canadian border in Ferry County by way of a tortuous path that passed through Ellensburg, Yakima, Pascal, Walla Walla, Spokane, and Colville on its way to the Canadian border. When it was built, it was one of the state's seven primary roads, and it was in widespread use by 1915. As the highway was repaired and additional roads were built, the path shifted, but it never lost sight of its initial aim of connecting Yakima, Walla Walla, Spokane, Colville, and the majority of other population centers in central and eastern Washington state. The Inland Empire Highway was officially designated as State Road No. 3 in 1923 when the state's system of named highway routes was replaced by a numbered system. The name Inland Empire Highway remained on maps and in common usage for a few decades after its establishment, but by the end of the 1930s, the roads that made up the route were mostly known by their state or federal highway designations instead. However, the former name can still be found on a piece of the old route in Benton County, as well as on a short stretch of US 195 near Spokane. The little state roadways that existed in the Evergreen State had been constructed mainly for the purpose of serving horse-drawn vehicles until about 1910. By 1910 and afterwards, automobiles had grown in number to the point where they were no longer able to be ignored as a transportation issue. Auto enthusiasts from all throughout the state were demanding for smoother, wider freeways. A plan to create four new state highways in the state, one of which would go east through the Yakima Valley across the Columbia River to Walla Walla and eventually up to Spokane, was approved by the Washington State Good Roads Association in 1911. It requested the state legislature to issue bonds to fund the cost of the project. The term Inland Empire Highway was first used in 1912, a year before the state government officially appropriated funds for the construction of the highway. It was in August of 1912 when members of the Spangle Commercial Club put up 3-foot-wide placards proclaiming Inland Empire Highway along a 30-mile stretch of road that ran north through Spangle and on to Spokane. A friendly controversy between the commercial clubs of Spangle and Fairfield, which is located about 10 miles further east, over which town the proposed route would pass through, resulted in the signs. Spangle sought to steal a march on Fairfield by erecting them. With time running out, Spangle would emerge as the victor of this friendly competition. Likewise, in Whitman County, the path of the Inland Empire Highway was a source of heated debate and disagreement. When the Good Roads Association of Whitman County held a public meeting in Colfax on the 7th of January 1913, it drew so many people that the gathering had to be moved from a hotel conference room to a considerably larger area at the Whitman County Courthouse. Individuals traveled from as far away as Pullman, Colton, Uniontown, La Crosse, Winona, Endicott, Tekoa, St. John, Rosalia, the Palouse, and Elberton to attend the convention. The meeting devolved into a spirited battle between the delegates from the west half of the county and those from the east, according to a report. The Eastside contingent, which was headquartered in Pullman, claimed that the route should go through Pullman, Garfield, and Palouse instead. However, this meant that it would miss out on Colfax and Rosalia, which are popular destinations for residents of the West Side. The association ultimately came to no agreement on anything other than to formally endorse no specific route. By 1913, there was growing support for the establishment of a comprehensive network of new state roadways. The 1913 legislature established a tax levy for two highway funds, one known as the Public Highway Fund and the other known as the Permanent Highway Fund, both of which were supported by the federal government. It also established a new system of names for the state's seven primary roads as opposed to a previous system of numbers. As a result, the Pacific Highway was established on the western border of the state to serve as a north-south thoroughfare. The Sunset Highway was the name given to the east-west highway that ran from Seattle to Spokane through Blewett Pass, Wenatchee, Waterville, and Davenport, and was the subject of recent episode 98, so if you missed it and would like to learn more about the Sunset Highway, go check it out after you finish this episode. The projected route via Ellensburg, Pascal, Walla Walla, and Spokane was dubbed the Inland Empire Highway because of the cities it would pass through. Eastern Washington newspaper editors and other proponents of the region had already been using that fairly lofty name to describe their region for decades before it was officially adopted. To us now, such a roundabout route, dipping south almost to the Oregon border, then nearly reaching the Idaho border before turning back westward, may seem strange, but it was not always this way. Although it did not connect every city in the central and eastern portions of the Evergreen State, it did connect the majority of larger cities such as Ellensburg, Yakima, Kennewick, Pascal, Walla Walla, and Dayton, as well as Colfax, Pullman, Spokane, and Colville. The Inland Empire Highway project began in 1913 with the construction of a retaining wall. Some sections of the route were made up of already existing roads that were renovated and stitched together under the name of the new route. Others were entirely new roads. Other sections of the Inland Empire Highway were completely rebuilt from the ground up. Bids on grading were solicited throughout the year of 1914. As of April 1914, a total of 300 workers were employed on the road, with 120 working between Spokane and Spangle, 150 working between Spangle and Rosalia, and 30 working west of Walla Walla. After a decade of development, the Inland Empire Highway had become well established and was plainly indicated on the state's official road maps. For much of its history, Route 97 started out in Kittitas County near the little town of Verdon, a few miles northeast of Cleellum, because that was the point at which it diverged from the Sunset Highway, which continued north over Blewett Pass. Onward to North Yakima, the Inland Empire Highway passed via Ellensburg, over a ridge to the Wenas Valley, and through the town of Ellensburg. From there, the route followed the Yakima Valley all the way down to Kennewick, where it crossed the Columbia River and ended up at Pascal. It then passed through Burbank, Wallula, and Walla Walla before continuing on toward its destination. The Inland Empire Highway then veered northeast, passing through Waitsburg and Dayton, where it divided in two, presumably as a result of an apparent compromise between the two factions of Whitman County. The eastern line went east to Clarkston, Uniontown, Pullman, and Palouse, among other destinations. It was the western, and hence more direct, route that took travelers north to the Snake River at Central Ferry, then on to Colfax and Steptoe, respectively. The two routes converged once more at Rosalia, and then continued north to Spokane together. The Inland Empire Highway continued northwest, passing through Chowela, Colville, Orient, and finally to the Canadian border. Written in 1915 by Harry F. Giles, Deputy Commissioner of Washington's Bureau of Statistics and Immigration, a state-produced book titled The Beauties of the State of Washington, a Book for Tourists, documented and illustrated the whole route. The quickly building system of roads, which, when completed, will equal the French highways in terms of engineering competence and commercial value, wrote Giles. He named the Inland Empire Highway as one of the state's five most significant highways, ranking it fourth overall. But at the time, how many highways were there? Anyways, as an example, the following is Giles' description of the Inland Empire Highway. The Sunset Highway links up with the Inland Empire Highway, which runs south from Ellensburg to Spokane via Walla Walla. The Sunset Highway is a popular tourist route. As it travels south through the Wenas Valley to North Yakima, it continues southeast via the Union Gap and along the Sunnyside Canal, which is the state's longest irrigation ditch from which a spectacular panorama of the valley with Mount Hood in the background may be enjoyed. From Prosser, the county capital of Benton County and the gateway to the Horse Heaven area, the route lowers toward the Columbia River and soon reaches Kennewick, the birthplace of early strawberries, and Pascal, the county seat of Franklin County, among other destinations. The Inland Empire Highway continues on to the magnificent city of Walla Walla, although it splits at Dayton, the picturesque county seat of Columbia County, before reuniting around Rosalia, 25 miles south of Spokane. The Inland Empire Highway continues on to the beautiful city of Walla Walla. It is shorter to take this route, which heads northeast, crosses the Snake River, and passes through Colfax, the county seat of Whitman County, in the fertile Palouse Valley. Other branches cut across vast barley and wheat fields into Pomeroy, the county seat of Garfield County, and Clarkston on the county's eastern boundary line, which was named for Clark of Lewis and Clark fame. In its northernmost bending, it passes through irrigated lands and wheat fields. It passes through Pullman, which is home to the State College. It passes through Palouse. It passes through Garfield and Oaksdale. It joins the other branch at the county boundary line and soon reaches the southern outskirts of Spokane. Following its course from Spokane northward through the Colville Valley and onward to the Columbia River, the road eventually reaches the international boundary line, having previously passed through Deer Park and the Arcadia Orchard, the world's largest commercial apple orchard. Loon Lake, a summer resort, Chowela, a mining town surrounded by dairying country, and Colville, the county seat of Stevens County and the largest city in the section. This northern extension, which reclaims the mountains and evergreen woods, the quickly running rivers with magnificent waterfalls, and the chains of lakes embellishing irrigated valleys and lush meadows, provides a nice contrast. It is included in the Giles book, as well as a 1914 state road map that depicts the path of the Inland Empire Highway. Although the road appears to be turning northeast at Kettle Falls and continuing along the subsequent path of SR-25 up the Columbia River into Northport. This map depicts it as continuing northward until it reaches the Canadian border near the present-day town of Boundary in Stevens County. In every other official description of the Inland Empire Highway, the road was listed as terminating at Laurier, a Ferry County border hamlet located about 20 miles west of Boundary Bay, following the later route of US 395, which the Inland Empire Highway also followed between Spokane and Kettle Falls. In reality, the state's official road plan from the next year, 1915, plainly depicts the Inland Empire Highway terminating at Laurier as a result of this decision. Until 1925, the Inland Empire Highway was also a component of the Yellowstone Trail, an early automobile road that ran from Minnesota to Puget Sound via Yellowstone National Park. Several photographs of the Inland Empire Highway in the Giles book illustrate how the term highway was used in a distinct context during that period of time. That section of road is 10 miles east of Walla Walla, and it is straight and properly graded. In the state's highways, concrete paving was still in the experimental stage and could only be found in small patches. A permanent roadway surface was required under the state's Permanent Highway Act of 1911. The act stated that permanent highways should be surfaced with macadam, stone, gravel, or some other durable material. This began to change in the 1920s and 1930s when the route began to be paved, section by section, beginning with the first segment. When the opening of an all-hard surfaced road to Spokane was announced in late 1931, a crowd of 4,000 people gathered in Colfax to celebrate. Originally, the money was intended only for light gravel, according to a media report. When the state's official road map was published in 1931, it showed that around half of the route was paved and approximately half was made out of oil macadam, which was shattered stone bound with thick road oil. Meanwhile, new bridges were being built along the route to replace the existing ferry crossings, including the completion of the Snake River Bridge at Burbank in 1921, the Pascal-Kennewick Bridge across the Columbia in 1922, and the Central Ferry Bridge in 1924. The state government authorized a numbering system for the state's highways in 1923, which is still in use today. The Inland Empire Highway, with the exception of a section of the eastern route between Pullman and Rosalia, became State Road No. 3. The Inland Empire Highway name was dropped from maps in favor of the shorter and more concise 3. However, the names Inland Empire Highway and State Road No. 3 were nevertheless used interchangeably by the general public until well into the 1990s. To complete the route, three short spurs were added in 1923, each of which was only a few miles long. One from Wallula to the Oregon border, one from Walla Walla to the Oregon border, and another from Clarkston to Assateton. The road from Pullman to Colfax was also included in the Inland Empire Highway State Road No. 3 itinerary when it was built in 1925. In 1937, the name of the road was changed from State Road No. 3 to Primary State Highway PSH No. 3. The path of PSH No. 3 Inland Empire Highway remained mostly unchanged for the next several decades, running from Ellensburg to Walla Walla, then on to Spokane and then Laurier. However, when roads improved and new ones were constructed, the path was adjusted and made simpler to follow. According to a 1924 state road map, the Inland Empire Highway, which connected Ellensburg and Yakima, no longer passed through the Wenas Valley. It followed the Yakima River Canyon all the way down. In 1924, the eastern and western routes were divided at Dodge, a minor junction about 20 miles north of Dayton, which served as a transition point between them. Between 1931 and 1933, the western terminus of the Inland Empire Highway underwent a similar transformation. According to a 1933 state road map, a new direct road had been built to connect Cle Elum and Ellensburg. The path of the Inland Empire Highway was rerouted to begin at Tanaway, just east of Cle Elum, rather than the previous junction at Burden, as a result of the decision. After the Yakima River Canyon was paved in 1932, the stretch of road between Ellensburg and Yakima became much more pleasant, especially considering how sluggish and twisty it was previously. This section of the Inland Empire Highway is commemorated with a historical monument on Canyon Road near the entrance to the canyon today. In addition, a new northern spur was constructed in 1937 when a new road was constructed from Northport up the Sheep Creek drainage to Patterson, British Columbia. A report in the Spokane Daily Chronicle referred to this as the completion of the Inland Empire Highway North. Lacey V. Murrow, head of the Washington State Highway Department, launched the project in 1936, stating that it will be a simple 3.5-hour trip from here in Spokane to Trail, British Columbia when the highway is completed. Maps, on the other hand, continued to depict the major path of PSH No. 3 as leading to Laurier. As of this time, a new federal highway numbering system had been established, and many sections of the previous Inland Empire Highway route had been incorporated into the United States highway network. By the 1930s, the well-known shield of the United States highway system had become the dominating landmark among much of the old route. And starting from 1939, if a driver wanted to take the old route driving east to west, it would consist of driving on highways 97, 410, 295, 195, and finally 395. By the mid-1930s, the term Inland Empire Highway, which had not been used as an official designation since 1923, had virtually disappeared from most published maps. Residents continued to refer to it as such, but as the decades passed and new interstate highways and freeways began to replace many sections of the old route, the moniker began to fade away completely. Driving to the cities along the old Inland Empire Highway was no longer a problem by the end of the 20th century, thanks to the construction of Interstates 90 and 82, as well as the construction of United States Highways 12, 195, and 395. It was now State Highways 27 and 271 that carried most of the old eastern route through Pullman and Palouse. The phrase Inland Empire Highway is still used in a few places today. On some maps, Interstate 82 in the Yakima Valley is still referred to as the Inland Empire Highway, despite the fact that it was renamed long ago. The old Inland Empire Highway is a 21-mile stretch of road that runs from Grandview via North Prosser to Benton City on the north bank of the Yakima River. An unofficially named section of the four-lane US 195 in southwest Spokane is officially known as South Inland Empire Way, a nod to the route's previous moniker. While the name has been removed off the greater part of the highway, which is now bustling with high-speed traffic, the meaning has not left. Those early auto-driving pioneers who braved the gravel of the Inland Empire Highway in 1915 would surely be astounded at just how quickly a driver may today penetrate deep into the heart of this interior empire as they were in 1915. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review and don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss a new episode. Doing so really helps the show to grow and to expand to a new audience, so any help that you can give in that regard will be greatly appreciated. Sources for this episode include the Washington State Department of Transportation website, The Beauties of the State of Washington, A Book for Tourists by Harry F. Giles, The Spokesman Review, HistoryLink.org, historical maps available on the Washington State Secretary of State's website, and the Northwest Room at the Spokane Public Library. Thank you for listening to episode 104, The Inland Empire Highway. Episode 105 will be released next week. A special thank you goes out to Al Hirsch for providing the music for the podcast. If you have any questions about the show, please contact historyoftheevergreenstatepod@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to another episode of the History of the Evergreen State podcast. And until next time, I'm your host, John C.
There's peace on the Skokomish, on the Queets, and on the whole. There's calm on the Nisqually, born of ageless ice and snow. A land that nature loves so much, she stays the whole year round. I trade a royal palace for a shack on Puget Sound. There's Chimicum and Stillicum, where spouts the gooey duck. The singing Stillaguamish and the swirling Skookumchuck. And Moclips and Copalis, where the razor clams abound. A little bit of heaven is a shack on Puget Sound. A little bit of heaven is a shack on Puget Sound.